Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
From KQED.
Hey everybody, Devin Katayama here. Just want to say a quick word before we get started because these fires happening in the North Bay are really scary and really sad. And we want to let you know that KQED is covering these fires like mad. And if you need the latest information, please go check out kqed.org. When we think about who makes up the Bay Area, like who lives here and where they live, most of the time, we're actually referencing census data. And right now, we are in the final stages of counting the 2020 census. And this last stretch, especially here in the Bay, it ain't easy.
You know, we've become, I think, a really sort of data-driven society. And how we understand who we are is only as good as the data that we have.
Getting the census done is a regular part of our society. But this year, it's been hard. And there's a lot at stake. We're talking millions of dollars, political representation, but more simply, an accurate picture of who lives in the Bay Area. Today, how the 2020 census is going and whether everyone will get the count they deserve. I'm Devin Katayama. Welcome to the Bay.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
I mean, this census is like no other in a number of respects.
Tyke Hendricks is an editor and KQED reporter who's covered the census since 2000.
The pandemic has really thrown things up in the air. There's politics, there's a court case. But here in the Bay Area, we have also wildfires and particular characteristics of who lives here. You know, who are the residents of the Bay Area that need to be counted? So those things are all coming to a head right now as we're entering really the final stage of trying to get everyone counted, everyone included in our picture of, you know, who is the Bay Area, who is California, who are the people who live in this country.
So what do we know about who hasn't been counted so far?
So we're down to the folks who didn't answer the door, who answered the door and said, don't bother me, or in some cases, people left town because of the pandemic, or their house is an Airbnb, or their house burned down in the fires. And so those are the hard people to count. Yeah. They tend to be people who have fewer resources. Maybe they're renters. Maybe their housing is insecure and they move around a lot. People who speak limited English. California and the Bay Area, we have a huge share of our population who are immigrants. And we have, as you know, tremendous housing insecurity. Students, young people, people who move around a lot, poor people. These are the folks who are hardest to reach. And with regard to immigrants in particular, there are often questions about trust. And I have to say, this Trump administration has been sending since the very beginning messages that immigrants are not welcome. Immigrants, people are subject to deportation. Mm-hmm. And they're having a really hard time winning the trust in immigrant communities of, you know, it's okay, this is information that's confidential. Yeah, it's not going to jeopardize anything for you. But they really have to make an extra effort to build that trust and to get people to participate.
So we are approaching the end of the census count, but it sounds like there's still hundreds of thousands of people who either haven't responded or who are just uncounted. What's happening around the Bay Area to get people counted?
The census workers are still out there going door to door, but at the same time, there's a kind of a parallel effort underway that is led by county governments. I've talked to people, Alameda, San Francisco, Santa Clara, but really the county governments are putting money in to the community organizations, the nonprofits around the Bay Area who really know the folks in their communities.
Annette's going to go ahead and ask your questions, and then I have some socks.
I went out with Robbie Montoya and Annette Moretti with the Dorothy Day House in Berkeley because they were going down the streets downtown talking to folks who live in tents there and trying to get them counted.
And then you can or you don't have to give your phone number.
I don't have a phone number.
Okay, that is completely
I don't know
fine.
My phone. Right.
It is fine.
You know what the census is?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not interested? That's okay. How about you? You want some socks and a mask or anything? No socks?
And, you know, they know people in the community. They're familiar faces from their breakfast program. They have a level of trust with the homeless folks in their community that census workers may not have to encourage people to really get themselves counted.
And he was able to do it, and I told him, you know, all I need is just a little bit of information, and you get sanitizer, you can get a couple of granola bars. You know, it's just making their day, too, also count as we count them.
Leaving nothing to chance, Alameda County is spending, you know, $1.5 million out of their own funds. I know Santa Clara County, I think, has put $7 million into their own outreach to get the word out and to get people counted. And I've been just incredibly impressed by the commitment of our local governments, and I would say of our state government, to put in some extra resources to make sure that everyone is included.
How do we know when we have a good and accurate count?
So, you know, this is data that we rely on for the next decade to understand who we are as a country, and it determines, how many seats in Congress we get and a lot of other things. But how we make those decisions is only as good as the quality of the data. And so the Census Bureau has a benchmark, which is we need to count the folks living in at least 99% of all the households in the country in order to have good statistically reliable data.
Wow. That seems like a really high threshold. I mean, that's almost everybody. And when you think about getting everybody to do anything, it seems pretty hard.
But they met that threshold in 2010. We're down to the last, you know, couple percent, but that is really, those are the hardest to count people, the hardest to reach people.
So where is the Bay Area right now in terms of the number of who's been counted where?
So we can measure, or at least the Census Bureau lets us know on their website, you know, of the workload of the households that didn't respond, what proportion of that is completed. And for the census offices around the Bay Area, as of, you know, a day or two ago, it was anywhere from 89% of the workload completed to like 96% complete.
The Census Bureau says that as of Tuesday afternoon, 99.2% of California households have been counted. But the people in homes are really just the baseline, because it's still important that everyone gets counted, no matter where you live. And here in the Bay, there's still a lot more to do to make sure the census includes everyone in all 9 counties.
So getting those last couple percentage points of people counted, you know, the last 3, 4, 5% of us to be included, turns out to be A, really hard, and B, really important. Because, you know, California is actually at risk of losing 1 congressional seat, 2 congressional seats. It's not clear, but, you know, our population growth has slowed relative to other parts of the country. And, you know, we could lose political representation. The other thing is it's probably about $1,000 a year per person who's not counted that we lose in terms of resources. So
there actually is like a dollar amount associated with people.
Yes, of federal funds that would be coming back to the state. So we're talking really about millions of dollars if we're missing hundreds of thousands of people.
The people at the Census Bureau have been doing this work for a long time, and they face a lot of the same challenges with counting people every 10 years. But of course, this year is different.
So in my reporting, I've been talking with census enumerators and their supervisors, who are really the front line of the census door-to-door operation. And they talked to me, you know, on background. They did not want to be identified, and because they're not authorized to talk to the press. And it's been just a disaster these last 6 weeks with road closures, evacuations, homes burned out, just terrible smoke that means you can't go out and do the work. And they're saying, like, we can't get this done in the next few days. Like, we need a few more weeks to get this completed, because some of these cases are really hard to find. And people, you know, going up to an address and there's just a foundation that's charred and there's no home there anymore. And then in the cities, we have apartment buildings that enumerators in Oakland and San Francisco, you know, having a hard time getting in. And they've been told, well, just count the number of bicycles down in the, you know, bike rack down in the lobby.
Oh, God, really?
If you can't reach the people. So some of this is kind of this last-ditch approximation. And how many bicycles there are in the lobby isn't necessarily equal to how many people live in the building.
What do you think the 2020 census process says about life in the Bay Area right now?
I've covered the census count, but I've also really relied on the census data as a journalist to tell me, you know, who lives here and where and you know, what are our communities like? And that's part of how we tell the story of, you know, who is in the Bay Area and who is America. So, you know, we've become, I think, a really sort of data-driven society, and how we understand who we are is only as good as the data that we have and the full participation of everyone. It's information that gets used, you know, for a lot of business decisions, governmental decisions, policy decisions, but also just how we think of ourselves as a community.
Thank you so much, Taiki.
Thank you.
Legally, the final census numbers need to be compiled and sent to Congress by the end of the year, but even that deadline has been unpredictable. At first, the Trump administration said they needed more time because of the pandemic, but now they've been trying to cut it short. On Monday, the administration announced that counting would end on October 5th, but this issue is still far from over. There's been a whole legal battle about it, and the question of when counting will end could even make its way to the Supreme Court. Taiki Hendricks is an editor for KQED. The Bay is produced by Erica Cruz Guevara and our editor, Alan Montesilio. We are made by your local public media station, KQED. I'm Devin Katayama. That's it from us. Talk to you next time.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.